this is Kenny Kramer, the real Kramer, and you're listening to WGXC Acra. And as Cosmo would say, giddy up.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. And do you know it's an election all this week? Now through August 23rd, there are congressional elections to vote at. If you're in Albany County, you can vote in the New York 20 election between incumbent Paul Tonko, a Democrat, and his fellow Democrat Rostislav Rahr. We've previously heard an interview on the WGXC Morning Show with Rostislav Rahr. Today, we'll hear from Paul Tonko about his campaign for another seat in Congress. Also, Pat Ryan and Mark Molinaro are running to fill the remaining weeks of Antonio Delgado's seat in Congress in the 19th Congressional District. We'll hear another excerpt from a recent debate between the Democrat from Ulster County and the Republican from Dutchess County. And we'll hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
This is the news. This is the network. Network.
Turn out for the Deep in the Valley show Saturday, August 20th, put on by WGXC volunteer programmer Andy French, who does the Crawl Out from the Fallout show once a month on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. on WGXC, and his Raven Sings the Blues organization, with performances from Chris Forsythe, Ryan Jewell, Bill Nace, Wet Tuna, and others Saturday, August 20th from 11:30 a.m. to 8 p.m. at the From the Ground Brewery in Red Hook. That's the Deep in the Valley show, Saturday, August 20th. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program, administered in Greene County by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC's sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support to Wave Farm's radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Cochrane Media of Cairo, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Ted Remsnyder reports for Columbia Green Media that the Greene County Legislature's Government Operations and Finance Committee on August 15 set the stage for Greene County Administrator Sean Grodin to take on a fifth three-year term in the position. Both committees voted unanimously in favor of the resolution, which was followed by a vote of the full legislature on August 17. Grodin will begin his new term on January 1, 2023, and is scheduled to serve through the end of 2025. Quote, I love my job, unquote, Gordon said. Quote, I work with a great group of department heads, and the board is wonderful to work with. We've got some big projects coming up. We've got the Justice Center and the Community Services Building. Now we've got the work at the historic Catskill Point. We've got some big projects, so it's fun, unquote. Greene County Legislator Chair Patrick Linger said the county was eager to have Grodin continue in the role he assumed in 2011, following 6 years as county executive in St. Clair County, Michigan. Quote, Sean is great at what he does, unquote, Linger said. Gordon's salary for the three-year term will be decided as part of the county's 2023 budget negotiations. Linger said that as long as Gordon was willing to remain in his current role, the legislature was not interested in seeking alternative candidates. Gordon said, quote, I told them in July that I would do one more term, unquote. However, Gordon, 65, now says he has not decided whether his upcoming three-year term would be his last with the county. Quote, stay tuned, unquote, he said.
Mid-Ulster News reports that the Ulster County Legislature voted August 16th to eliminate fares on its bus service. The Ulster County Area Transit System will now be free to riders. Democrats voted to eliminate the fares. Republicans voted to keep them. Eve Walter, a New Platts Democrat, said to a Republican colleague complaining about the lack of bus service in his area, and I quote, this gives us the opportunity to actually increase ridership in a way that we never really considered before, and I do believe that the increase of ridership will result in an increase of routes. County Executive Pat Ryan said, and I quote, we're all feeling the pressure due to rising costs, especially our lower-income communities, vulnerable populations, and seniors on fixed incomes. At a time when every bill and receipt is higher, Ulster County is stepping up and taking aggressive action to provide urgent relief to our residents. Reducing transportation costs will allow people to have one less thing to worry about, end quote. Read the full story at Mid-Hudson News.
Melanie Lekasevic is reporting for Capital Region Independent Media that Ravenna Mayor Bill Misuraca has asked the public to stop using sprinklers due to concerns over drought conditions. Misuraca made the appeal during the August 2nd Village Board meeting, but he stopped short of issuing official restrictions on water usage. Quote, we are not at water restrictions yet, but I would ask on a voluntary level if everyone could ease up on the sprinklers, unquote, Misuraca said. Quote, hand watering is fine. If you want to wash your car or pressure wash your house, it's all totally fine. But when you plug in a sprinkler and just let it blast for 10, 12 hours, it really does a number on our water plant, unquote. The water level at Ravenna's Alcove Reservoir is lower than normal due to the reduced amount of rainfall. There was also less snow than usual this past winter, which also impacts water levels. Quote, the alcove is very low, unquote, Mr. Rocca said. Quote, I see no need to get into the danger zone with the way this weather has been. If you could, please be cognizant that we are in August. These are the dog days, and we are going to need to be smart about the water, so please keep that in the back of your head, unquote. The village of Coxsackie issued a similar alert on August 9th. Coxsackie Mayor Mark Evans said in a statement, quote, like many other communities, our reservoir is down with the lack of significant snowfall last winter and the current dry conditions we have been in. This is a precautionary move at this time, unquote. The state on August 16th released an updated drought watch because of dry conditions. Albany, Columbia, Greene, Dutchess, and Ulster counties are included in the list of counties being asked to conserve water. Read more about this story at theupstater.com.
Paul Kirby reports in the Daily Freeman that the political ads currently running for the special election to fill out the final weeks of Antonio Delgado's 19th district congressional term are not always truthful. One National Republican Congressional Committee advertisement shows Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan walking across the Mid-Hudson Bridge during a peaceful protest in June 2020 in the wake of the killing of George Floyd at the hands of police. The ad is on behalf of Republican Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro and attempts to paint his opponent, Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan, as a radical left-wing Democrat. The truth of the video image is that Molinaro was walking right next to Ryan at the rally. Then the ad shows video footage of riots not from Ulster County or other areas in the 19th Congressional District, but from other parts of the country. The ad, and I quote, accuses me, because I marched in a peaceful protest, which Mark was at, literally next to me and invited me to, actually, in Poughkeepsie, that I somehow am radical, whatever mumbo-jumbo they came up with, end quote. Ryan asked Molinaro to disavow the ad, but he refused. Molinaro said, and I quote, "I appreciate the fact that in trying to suggest we all get along, you yet again attacked. That is not my ad. It isn't. But Pat, you and I both know that we have a different view of public safety," end quote. A Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee advertisement in support of Ryan's campaign also misrepresents Molinaro's stated take on abortion. In the ad, a narrator says, and I quote, "The sad truth is that Mark Molinaro and Republicans oppose a woman's right to choose," end quote, which is true, but then says that, and I quote, "In Congress, they will vote for a nationwide abortion ban. The sad truth is Mark Molinaro and the Republicans are too extreme on women's rights," end quote. Molinaro has said that he would not support a nationwide ban on abortion. Molinaro said, and I quote, "I don't believe that after the Supreme Court decision that the federal government or Congress has much of a role at all, and that is, in fact, the decision of the Supreme Court. I have always said this, and I am personally pro-life. Like most Americans, however, I have accepted that the law has provided access to what is a very sensitive and difficult decision for women. I understand it," end quote. Voting in the special election between the two candidates continues now through August 23rd. And you can read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
The Daily Freeman is reporting that the State Department of Environmental Conservation has confirmed the first case of epizootic hemorrhagic disease this year in a white-tailed deer that recently died in Dover Plains. The DEC is investigating reports of several other dead deer in Dutchess County, according to a press release. The virus is often fatal in deer and is transmitted by biting midges, small bugs often called noceums or punkies. The disease is not spread directly from deer to deer, and humans cannot be infected by deer or bites from midges, according to the release. The EHD virus was first confirmed in New York in 2007. In 2020, a large outbreak occurred in Putnam and Orange counties, with reports of approximately 1,500 dead deer. 2021, the DEC received more than 2,000 reports of dead deer, primarily in Ulster, Dutchess, Columbia, Oswego, and Jefferson counties. Once infected, deer usually die within 36 hours. An infected deer may appear lame or dehydrated and may seek out water sources. There is no treatment or means to prevent the disease. The DEC requests that anyone who sees a sick or dying deer report it online to the nearest DEC regional office or environmental conservation police officer. More about the story in the Daily Freeman.
Andrea Mako in Porcupine Soup wonders if there are more bears around this year, as there seem to be more social media posts showing evidence of bear visits. The area's dry weather is to blame. Jeffrey Hurst, DEC Division of Fish and Wildlife Biologist, said, and I quote, "Bear conflicts and sightings by the public have recently occurred with a high-low pattern, the high occurring on even years. Likely this is driven primarily by fluctuations in natural food availability, with bears moving around more to find food during years when natural foods are less abundant," end quote. Bears are largely vegetarian, eating mostly succulent plants, grasses, sedges, clover, insects, especially ants and bees, berries, fruits, nuts, acorns, and plant roots. But the bears have easy access. They will eat amphibians, reptiles, small mammals, fish, carrion, garbage, and occasionally livestock. All the vegetation on that list is in less supply this year because of a lack of water. On August 16th, New York State Department of Environmental Conservation expanded a drought watch to most of the state, including the Hudson Valley. Hurst said, and I quote, "The perception of increased bear observations may also be influenced by factors such as social media and the increasing popularity of doorbell cameras. This can result in a few bears gaining a significant amount of attention as pictures spread quickly in the community, generating a lot of public interest," end quote. Read more about this story in Porcupine Soup.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days, well, on Thursday, partly sunny with a high near 80 degrees. Thursday night, partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 57 degrees. And on Friday, sunny with a high near 88 degrees. And Friday night, partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 61 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears. In Greene and Columbia counties.
Thursday, August 18th, tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Including at 11 a.m., it's time for some transformational listening. This week, it's African traditional and ritual music on the show. At 2 p.m., it's time for What's the Frequency, Kenneth? The show that sets the week's news with brand new music. And this week the show is called After Mar-a-Lago, Trump's Last Resort. Then we hear some espionage acts on Turn on the News at 3 p.m. And Charlie Hamish Jeffrey is the featured artist on the Radia show at 3:30 p.m. 7 p.m. is time for Catskill Cabin Getaway with Mike Porter and Andy Reid. And at 8 p.m., WGXC's current Wave Farm artist in resident Kamari Carter Grav is performing live for an hour on the radio at 8 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM.
To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page, and copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
World-renowned composer, improviser, bassist Luke Stewart comes to Ulster County Sunday, August 21st to perform at Opus 40 in Saugerties from 5 to 7 p.m. Luke Stewart is known for his work as leader of the Exposure Quintet. He's also played with Irreversible Entanglements and others, and is generally regarded as one of the best jazz bass players going today. Turn out Sunday, August 21st to Opus 40 in Saugerties from 5 to 7 p.m. to see Luke Stewart perform. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org, where you can list your own events by clicking on the Add an Event button.
Hey man, I saw your Volkswagen thing from across the street while I was getting a rhubarb smoothie. Oh yeah, these smoothies are great. They're loaded with important phytochemicals to combat the free radicals floating around in your body, causing you to make bad decisions, like buying that Volkswagen thing. Oh, good burn, man. You seem really cool. Yeah, I guess you could say I've been dulling the cutting edge for years. So I was wondering if you could tell me where the raddest swimming spots are. Me and my girlfriend Olestra burning up in this man-made heat dome. Oh, rad, man. Yeah, me and my girlfriend Topiary, we're just gonna head over there. Oh, snap, my man. What are the GPs? That's like a way of saying GPS without really saying it. Well, we could tell you the DDs, but then we would have to kill you. Oh, hilarious, Pierce Brosnan. No, seriously, we would stuff you in the trunk of our 1968 Toyota Land Cruiser, and you would probably suffocate, and then you would be unable to swim. Massive bummer! Well, would you have the 411 on a poorly ventilated pavilion with a band playing awkward versions of old Southern rock songs? My dude, I have just the spot for you. Battlefield Earth, every Tuesday night at 10 p.m., only on WGXC and WGXC.org.
I'm Tom Rowe in Akron. You've tuned into the WGXC Renewable Weather Forecast. We start each renewable weather forecast with the price of fossil fuels in Greene County. The Mobil in Cairo has gas for $4.19 a gallon. That's the lowest according to GasBuddy, the website. And then we look at the air quality forecast, and it's slightly worse than yesterday. It's up to 20 on Thursday. The UV index is another one, a very low safe day to be out in the sun, which will actually be out in the clouds. That's the National Weather Service in Albany predicts a 20% chance of showers, possibly a thunderstorm after 2 p.m. Otherwise, it'll be partly sunny on Thursday with a high of 78 and a northwest wind spinning local windmills 7 to 10 miles per hour. Thursday night should be partly cloudy with a low around 59 and a west wind 3 to 5 miles per hour. And Friday should be sunny with a high of 84 and a low around 61. And Saturday should also be sunny with a high of 84 and a low around 60. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Peter Meyer of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Hi, this is Miles from Hudson. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Hudson, Catskill.
To tell my point of view, running around as you do, with your head up in the clouds. I was like you. Never had time to lay back.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
They ask the questions and we'll see.
Former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani testified before a special grand jury in Atlanta for 6 hours Wednesday as part of a criminal probe into efforts to overturn the 2020 election. After losing the primary for her House seat to a Trump-based challenger, Republican Wyoming Representative Liz Cheney said she's considering a run for president in 2024 and will make a decision in the coming months.
I will do whatever it takes to ensure Donald Trump is never again anywhere near the Oval Office, and I mean it.
Founder of the Republican Accountability Project, Sarah Longwell, says there's an increasing grassroots movement for Cheney.
It was going to be very difficult for her to survive politically being as vocal as she's been. But, you know, she's been very clear that she is going to choose truth and the Constitution over whatever that meant for her politically.
In New Hampshire, former Vice President Mike Pence pushed back against fellow Republicans who have called for defunding the FBI after the agency raided Trump's Florida home.
Calls to defund the FBI are just as wrong as calls to defund the police.
He also called on Attorney General Merrick Garland to release more information about the raid's justification. Jerron Smith, a former Trump administration domestic policy advisor, talked about a public safety coalition initiative to reduce violent crime and enhance criminal justice reform.
Police officers are kind of dealing with a lot of other issues outside of violent crime. And I'm sure having the pandemic and individuals being indoors and a lot of children not participating in school has contributed to the increase of violent crime.
A Florida state prosecutor is suing Governor Ron DeSantis for removing him from office. Andrew Warren says he was fired for pledging not to prosecute people for violating abortion restrictions or a law prohibiting gender-affirming care for minors. Planned Parenthood says it will spend a record $50 million on November's midterm elections to elect abortion rights supporters. Wisconsin's Democratic Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes holds a slight lead over Republican incumbent Ron Johnson in the race for Johnson's Senate seat, according to a Marquette Law School poll. Democrats see the Wisconsin race as an opportunity to pick up a Senate seat. And in Ohio, a federal judge Wednesday ordered CVS, Walgreens, and Walmart to pay more than $650 million to two Ohio counties for contributing to the opioid epidemic. I'm Nadia Ramlagan for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Here's an important story we missed from last week. A Native American tribe in South Dakota won a victory in federal court, forcing implementation of a fairer voting district system and representation for its members after enduring years of a rigged system. The Lower Brule Sioux Tribe accounts for 40% of the population of Lyman County, South Dakota. Yet the at-large voting system in Lyman County made sure that it was unlikely the tribe could elect members to the county commission. In the 2020 redistricting, Native American voting rights groups advocated for the creation of voting districts giving Native voters an opportunity to select 2 of the 5 county commissioners in order to comply with Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act. Problem is, by 2022, the district still had not been implemented due to foot dragging by the county commission. A suit was filed in May by the Lower Brule Sioux Tribe, and the judge ordered the redistricting plan to be implemented. In the order, Chief Judge Roberto A. Lang wrote, "The effect of a single countywide district has been to create a system where the county's white majority can, and largely has, blocked election of Native preferred candidates." The court ordered the county commission to present a plan, and if they did not, the court would implement one for them. Without advocacy by the Native American Rights Fund and others, justice would not have been served. See articles on this case and links to the organizations taking action at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
Darling, you don't have to call me Stalin or even Mao Zedong, 'cause I'm far too young. My rising sign is Capricorn, is that surprising? You know that I was born so very soft and easygoing. I make no trouble at all. I was listening, yeah, I was listening to the devil's radio. I was listening, yeah, I was listening to the devil's radio. And it went na 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 on the devil's radio. Evil, its tentacles are bland, it's like a weevil. It burrows through the land and everybody smiles, everybody smiles. Michael, don't you know someday a spike will grow right through the woodwork and come out through your palm? We was listening, we was listening to the devil's radio. Listening, yeah, we was listening to the devil's radio. And it went na 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 on the devil's radio. Sunsets on the devil. Sunsets on the west. He's listening to the FM talk show. It's what he loves the best. Talking through a bimbo, but don't touch that dial or that hateful smile. Kate said the flowers of intolerance and hatred are blooming kind of early this year. someone's been watering them. We was listening, ah, we was listening to the devil's radio. We was listening, yeah, we was listening to the devil's radio. And it went na 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 na. I'm not the devil's radio. Na 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 na. I'm the devil's radio.
Hi, this is Miles from Hudson. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Hudson, Catskill.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Thank you so much, Congressman Tonko, for joining me.
Well, thank you, Corinne.
You've represented New York's 20th District since 2009, and you are well-loved by many, many of your constituents. But this year, you're facing a challenger in Rostislav Rahr on August 23rd for the Democratic primary. And we recently aired an interview with Mr. Rahr on this station, and I know that our listeners are eager now to hear from you. I'd like to ask you, for those people who think that maybe we need a change, that being in office for as many years as you have is enough, what would you say to those people?
Well, I think that we're in these difficult times where experience does matter. And we've been through a lot, I believe, a pandemic, an armed insurrection, the end of Roe v. Wade, the end of a legitimate Supreme Court, Donald Trump, a Republican Party that continues to obstruct relief on constant mass shootings, climate change, voting rights, police reform, and so much more. So issues that the overwhelming majority of Americans have desperately demanded time and again at the polls. And I just think that it's important to have that experience and put it to work. It takes a while to get the assignments that you need to best serve your district, to match those assignments with their strengths and their needs and with your abilities and passions. So I wake up each morning with the faces and places of the Capital Region on my mind, and how I can work harder for our friends and neighbors. And that's what motivates me. And that's what has helped me produce the results I have for our region. But I want to build upon those results. This year, the Democrats have produced big results for the American people. We've made historic investments in the fight against climate change. We've passed the first gun control law in 30 years. We're finally bringing back tech jobs from China, many of which will be right here in our capital region. We're investing in our roads and our bridges and our water systems and other infrastructure. So more people are employed than at any point in our nation's history. And so I think it's important for us to make certain that we continue along that road of progress. And I've been deeply involved in these debates. We've cut drug costs and further reined in insurance companies. And we've showed supervillains like Vladimir Putin as a petrol dictator that might does not make right. So I'm proud of that record. And I want to continue to invest on behalf of the region and its people. And I'll put that record up against anyone. That pile of issues I mentioned at the top here are not just political footballs. They affect real people. More than a million lives lost from COVID, the generation of young people who have been taught by former President Donald Trump and his gang that being a bully gets you to the top, a woman being forced to give birth or without access to life-saving medicine. You know, I think these are important issues. A black father terrified on his son, being pulled over by the police. This kind of work is personal to me. And again, the experience, I think, matters at a time like this when we're at a really important juncture with our democracy. And so I want you to know that I will always be honest with you as a representative, never going to promise you that I'm going to introduce a bill on day one and let you believe that it's going to pass just for a vote. I want to continue to work with you as we roll up our sleeves together and take our best ideas to Washington and keep our momentum going. So it's experience, it's passion, it's learning those issues and their solutions, and getting the correct assignments after my tenure here in Congress.
And when you say assignments, you mean committee assignments, and that gives you...
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That gives you a certain amount of power to dictate the agenda.
You know, it's a large body, and you have many committees, and some of those that can most assist the region are most sought after. So you want to make certain that, you know, you do align your strengths and your background, your track record, and your intellect with those of the strength of the district and the needs of the district. And we certainly have many strengths in this region.
So I want to ask you some national and some local questions. Your opponent is portraying you as an establishment candidate. And so these questions are kind of in that vein. Abortion is one of those. The first question that I have for you, you brought it up twice in your sort of opening remarks. And you must know that many voters who support abortion rights feel let down by the Democratic Party and its candidates because they feel that they've been told for decades to vote for Democratic candidates because they'll protect the right to choose. And as we know, this year, we lost the constitutional right to abortion in the overturning of Roe v. Wade. What do you say to this charge that Democrats were unable to protect this right at the federal level?
Well, look at what the House is doing. We've been passing legislation that deals with making certain that we codify into law the Women's Reproductive Rights Act. It's important for us to make that statement so that government keeps its nose out of the business of women and families that are making difficult decisions, critical decisions. They need to do that in conjunction with their doctor and their family members, those they love, and certainly a God if they worship a God. So all of this, I think, is kept in a very personal vein, and that's why we codified it into statute. We've also moved on, you know, a number of issues that are already rumored to be next attacked by the Supreme Court, making certain that contraceptives, again, are protected. And we moved as a body to take action and have sent that over to the Senate.
What do you think Congress can do about the massive wage inequality that we're seeing in this country grow?
Obviously, workforce development and training and retraining as we bring sound paying jobs to this region will be very important. That will enable family budgets to grow, and also pushing for a minimum wage that is a living wage that by which families can endure and make those home payments, those mortgage payments, and making certain that they can set aside money for investing in their family members from day one through opportunities for higher education or apprenticeships. So I think this is very important for us to make certain that we're providing for economic equality.
Do you support single-payer health care? In other words, yeah. Expanded and improved Medicare for all?
Yes, I am part of that legislation. In fact, I've been on that legislation throughout my tenure in the House, and I believe that kind of track record is a sound one. We want to make certain dollars invested in healthcare go toward actual hand-on healthcare delivery and not going towards paperwork shuffling.
Now, you voted against the Green New Deal three times, but I believe that you've said that you support it in principle. What does that mean?
Well, I chair the subcommittee on environment and climate change, and it's important for us to hear all the assignments, all the legislation that's being proposed in the House, and to make a good, cumulative, comprehensive, collaborative response. But also, I would point out that the Green New Deal, which has not been voted upon, really, with the Green New Deal, it's not legislation. It's a resolution that speaks to principles. I support those principles. The tough job rests with the subcommittee that I chair, or any subcommittee in the House dealing with public policy. It is to put that into statutory language, and that's the harder job, and that's what we're working on, to make certain that, A, we're getting to the principles of the stated effort, and making certain, yes, that we have 218 votes. If not, then, you know, Corinne, we're standing still. We're not getting things done, and standing still is going backward in the fight against climate change. So, but I'll put my record up as an aggressive and progressive leader on climate change against anyone that you find in the House. As an engineer by training, I care, and I care deeply about the details that make real progress happen and become law, not just the optics. So going into this Congress, I knew that getting a climate-focused reconciliation bill over the finish line would be the single most effective action we can take to address our climate change. And when we look at the progress made with the actions of the Inflation Reduction Act, we're going to see an historic investment, $369 to $70 billion in fighting climate change and decarbonizing our economy across the board. I think those are very strong substantive outcomes that, again, found the support of a majority, a simple majority in both the House and the Senate. So, you know, standing still is not an option. We found a way to put together a package of goods, and that's a huge down payment, but much more to come. And the challenge to us is to get more progressive Democrats elected to the U.S. Senate so that we can have that flexibility, that luxury to garner the votes we need and to make certain that we retain leadership and grow leadership by the numbers in the House.
Do you think that Congress should be taking steps to completely end the use of fossil fuels? And if so, what steps and on what timeline do you envision that happening?
Well, I think, you know, our work is to move forward in a transitional way to make certain that we don't harm the economy, that we have the capacity needs met for a modern day important utility. And with that in mind, going as aggressively as we can, I think that our infrastructure bill, which works toward grid modernization, is an important step. If we're going to integrate renewables and efficiency efforts and all sorts of innovative concepts in trying to decarbonize, we have got to make certain we have a state-of-the-art prepared grid in working order. So it's that, it's investing in the grid, it's investing in a transitional format that will not harm the qualities that are there, the quantification of that capacity, and making certain that we're greening up and feeding all clean energy into the system as we move to decarbonize.
Sticking with environmental issues, I want to ask you about a local situation that we're dealing with right here in Cohoes, and that's Norlight. I'm sure you're familiar with this company that incinerates hazardous waste. It's an embattled company. It's faced state regulators' scrutiny and demonstrations by residents in the area. And there's been a recent development, as I'm sure you're aware, that residents from the housing development Saratoga sites are having to relocate, and they're seeing their homes demolished because of the pollution caused by Norlight's hazardous waste incinerators. What do you have to say to that? And do you support the closure of Norlight and the transition of those jobs into green jobs?
We have really worked hard with the city of Cohoes to make certain that we coordinate with them on their clean energy and environment agenda. The mayor and his administration and the local government is to be credited for taking a strong stand. We have supported them every step of the way by networking with the appropriate agencies at the state and federal level, making certain that we shut down those operations that are of risk to public health, and making certain that as we go forward, every replacement is as green so as to move forward with a sound environmental response. You know, I give the community a lot of credit. We have worked with them and continue to come up with ideas and solutions that will provide for the resources that they need to have that cleaner future.
What would you say to those residents that are feeling a little bittersweet about this resolution at Saratoga sites, that they're seeing these homes demolished and they're having to move? What would you say to them at this moment?
Well, you know, we want to err on the side of public health and public safety. We want to make certain that no one is at risk because of that pollution, of that health hazard. You know, you always work to enhance, however possible, the quality of life for people. And, you know, housing is a major component of that quality of life, the dignity factor. And so we'll work with a compact of agencies in accordance with the local government, with the city of Cohoes, but to strive for the very best possible outcome.
Congressman, where can we find you when you're not on the Hill taking a vote or leading the efforts that you've mentioned or out campaigning? Where do you find is a place that you enjoy being and not working?
Well, there's not much room left, but it's just enjoying the great outdoors and taking in the environments of this district. But basically, it's an overtime job the way I conduct myself in the role. And to me, that's the joy of the job. I mean, it requires a lot of energy and a lot of time. But at the same time, the respite that perhaps one would think you need isn't as great because the enjoyment factor is so strong.
Gotcha. Well, maybe I'll run into you on a hiking trail in the 20th
district. That or at some ice cream counter. We're saving a good flavor of an ice cream cone.
There you go. I was hoping to get you to admit to some guilty pleasure. Well, well, Congressman, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity to share my thoughts with the public.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Interesting, boring, really boring.
It'd be about
chocolate pigs.
She's obsessed with pigs.
Chocolate pigs?
Awesome.
All the way down.
I turned it down.
Only dogs can hear.
I turned it down.
Do it.
Did you hear that?
No.
Victor, Emma, Bravo, 9, 6, Bravo, 2, 9, Bravo, 2, 3, 3, 0.
Voting began August 13th and continues locally now through August 23rd for the 19th Congressional Special Election and a Congressional Primary Election for Democrats. Democrat Ulster County Executive and Republican Dutchess County Executive are on the special election ballot to finish out the final weeks of Antonio Delegado's term in office. Democrats Jamie Cheney and Josh Riley are competing for the nomination to run for the new 19th Congressional District in November. Counties have one or more locations to vote before August 22nd and regular local precincts to vote at on August 23rd. In Greene County, vote before August 22nd on the fourth floor of the Greene County Office Building on Main Street in Catskill. In Columbia County, there is voting before August 22nd at 401 Main Street in Hudson and at the Martin H. Glenn Municipal Building, 3211 Church Street in Valencia.
2, 3, 3, 0, 4, 2, 8.
The Daily Freeman newspaper recently sat down with the two candidates for the special election for New York 19 to fill out Antonio Delgado's final few weeks in office. That's Republican Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro and Ulster County Democrat and County Executive Pat Ryan. Here is one of those questions.
You know, I actually had a couple other topics that I wanted to hit, but I'm going to skip over those and go to this. Over the course of your overlapping tenures as county executives, the two of you have stood together on any number of issues, from COVID-19 to fighting the DEP over discharges from the Esopus into the Hudson and keep Castle Point open. However, and I think that the last 45 minutes has shown that we're getting increasingly negative toward one another. Negative ads, you're sort of back and forth at each other with negative attacks. And I wonder, why should voters believe that either of you will behave any differently if elected to Congress to break the gridlock and the polarization that is now sort of got a gridlock on Congress, has led to really partisan, I don't even know what other word to use, but polarization. Why should people think, listening to you and seeing your ads, that it's going to be any different if either one of you get into office? And I don't know, I'm lost.
Happy to go first, but
I think it's Mark first. I think Pat, I asked you about the economy, so I think it's Mark first.
We do have to dissect the difference between the things that we put out from our campaigns and the things that Pat and I both acknowledged both before getting into this race and today that third parties do. And frankly, I've never thought this was a great way to run a an election, meaning allowing independent third parties to do whatever they want is just undermines. What I will say is this: I don't attack Pat for his conviction, his service. I don't attack Pat for his choice of career, for his service to our community. But I will say out of the bat, and that was today and out of the gate today and otherwise, simply to cast my service aside because it doesn't fit with his view of public service is just wrong. I like Pat Ryan. We've had a great relationship. In fact, during the pandemic, he knows and I know we relied on one another. As president of the County Executives Association, I had to work with Republicans and Democrats to marshal together all of us in a way that kept us pushing back when we needed to, Albany, working with Albany when we needed to. I have spent every day of my adult life advocating for the people I represent. You know, Tivoli isn't known for being a conservative place, and neither is Dutchess. I have pushed back against Republicans and Democrats in Albany and Washington when it makes sense. I've worked with them. I've worked with members of Congress, regardless of party. I worked with Jerry Solomon and Maurice Hinchey to establish the Hudson River as a heritage river. My entire life has been committed to trying to work with people regardless of party. I don't give orders. I don't accept orders. I simply do what I think is best for the people that I serve with. And I'm hopeful that the relationship Pat Ryan and I enjoyed prior to August 23rd will continue. Although, yes, I do feel in some instances respectfully, and I think Pat knows this, there's a line that we both should probably keep from crossing. And at the end of the day, look forward to serving with County Executive Pat Ryan as his representative in Congress for a few brief moments.
Pat, same question to you. I mean, we hear back and forth.
I mean, this is a time in our country where it's a really dark time, and we have to be able to have spirited and passionate disagreement and debate. And I think you certainly hear that from both of us. And I think it's because we're passionate and we believe in this. And I certainly don't question that from Mark in any way. But that is very different than personal attacks. I agree. And certainly on from our campaign or any other supposed independent group, we've been consistently having a positive message. Our TV ads are focused on my clear position on critical issues, on pushing back on Central Hudson that's been ripping off our community. And to that note, I've been really disappointed and kind of surprised at this attack ad that has started running on my TV, which is paid for both by the National Republicans and by Mark Molinaro, if you look at the bottom, that accuses me of, because I marched in a peaceful protest, which Mark was at, literally next to me, and invited me to, actually, in Poughkeepsie, that I somehow am some radical whatever mumbo-jumbo they came up with. So, Mark, I'd ask, actually, in the spirit of this discussion, if you would disavow and reject that negative ad, which is blasting people's TVs right now.
I appreciate the fact that in trying to suggest that we should all get along, you yet again attacked. And that is not my ad. It isn't. But Pat, you and I both know that we have a different view of public safety. We do. Do you support cashless bail